Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Welcome to the second edition of the Sufi Pilgrims podcast. I hope people were able to listen to the first and enjoy it. We will try to do a follow-up each time by having commentary and discussion on the blog, so you're free to go onto our blog at SufiPilgrimsProgress.com and make your comments or respond to other comments that are there. Inshallah, this will start a discussion. There are numerous topics that we could discuss and will discuss, inshallah, but we have to focus in on one or two each time. And today I want to talk about what has been increasingly on my mind and in my heart about the issue of dealing with good and bad in the world. Now, we've probably all run into people in any of the traditions, Judaic, Christian, Buddhist, Islamic, who are what we call affectionately or unaffectionately the goody-goodies, the people who see the world through rose-colored lenses and refuse to look at anything negative. Now, most of the time, this ends up being off-putting for people because it comes across as very artificial and fake. Nevertheless, there is genuine good in the world, and it's important for us to recognize it. Now, many of the scholars in Islam tell us about the importance of husn adhan, having a good opinion. And they include having a good opinion of God and having a good opinion of man. There's an article about this on the blog as well. Now, the good opinion of God is not problematic, at least for believers. For atheists, it is. Many of them, astaghfirullah, they have a bad opinion of God. But for believers, there's no problem with it. A good opinion of man is a whole other question. And I advise people to have a look at that article because, as we all know, men in general are an admixture of good and evil. If you want the angelic component and the animal component and even the demonic component, all of those exist in men. So if we focus only on the positive, we can get into trouble because we can miss seeing the problem in advance. Now, most of the scholars in Islam tell people that they're obliged to have a good opinion of people in general. And some of them go to almost to the extreme about it. Hamza Yusuf tells us, for example, about his sheikh, Murabit al-Khaj, who refused to allow any of his murids to ever say anything negative about anyone in his presence. Now, that is what I would call a somewhat radical position. And maybe it's possible in Mauritania, in the backwoods of Mauritania, not in the main cities, but it's almost impossible in our daily lives. And I explain both in the article Husn Adhan and in the article Refining the Notion of Ghiba, backbiting, why this is, why we have to deal with the negative. Now, there's a lot as well in Islam that tells us as much. For example, one of the main notions, protocols, Islamically, that's encouraged in this is Amr bil Maruf wa Nehi al Munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Well, that assumes that there is evil, there is Munkar, and that we have to deny it, prevent it, forbid it, Nehi al Munkar. So how are we going to do that if we only say good? Okay. All of this being said, we need to arrive at some kind of balance in our perspective between the good and the evil. If we only see the bad, then we get into what I just recently wrote about on the blog, the kvetch culture. Now, I have to, or the complaining culture. In French, they have a very colorful term also. They talk about chialer. Now, both kvetch and chialer are onomatopoeias. That is, they both sound like what they are. You can hear the complaining in the word kvetch, and you can hear it in chialer. But you can't hear it in the word complaining in English. So in that sense, English is not that poetic or colorful a language at times. As I said in the article, in Arabic, I had to look up the word for complaining, which to me means, at least in classical Arabic, it wasn't that much of a problem. And this is to the credit of the Arabs in their culture. There is a word about complaining, but it's not used that often. One hears much more about shock or doubt, which is an issue, but less about complaining. So I'm assuming, and this has been my experience to some extent with the Arabic culture, it's not really a culture of complaining. But the Jewish culture, the French-Canadian culture, some parts of the English culture love to complain. It's like a national sport. Now, I was raised in that culture, first of all, and then I was trained in that culture because both psychiatry and psychoanalysis and a lot of forms of psychotherapy are all based on the negative, including finding diagnoses and looking for psychopathology and finding analytic conflicts. All of this is negative. So then we have to struggle to try to find the positive. One of the ways of doing this is by finding models. There are people around who actually have a talent in this area. One of them was my first wife, who was amazing at finding the jewel in the midst of all the trash of the people around her. And she was really quite extraordinary in that area. On the other hand, she had some bad characterological aspects that were very negative, which kind of brings us to the important point that we're always living in this world in a field of contradictions. One of the things that you'll see if you follow me on the Facebook post, or my Facebook postings, that I denounce more often perhaps than anything else is black and white thinking. There's nothing in this world that's all black or all white. Amidst the white, there's always a certain amount of darkness. Amidst the darkness, one can often find a silver lining in the cloud. So that it's important for us not to get stuck in one position. Now, one of the places that this came up, that comes up regularly, if you watch the news, is Trump. So people are either all for him or all against him. And most people cannot change from that approach. Either everything he does is wrong, or almost everything he does is right. And this is black and white thinking. The cognitive therapists are on top of this, and they try to teach people not to get stuck in that way, because then you're missing half of the picture. So when we refer this back into our spiritual domain, we believe, as Muslims, as Sufis, ultimately that the ultimate reality is good, right? The ultimate reality is God. He's the creator, and everything is part of his plan. So the overall perspective has to be positive and optimistic. However, there is, and this will be one of the subjects of future talks, there's a lot of negative. There are bad influences all around us, especially in this society. There is shaitan, although the modern secularists refuse to recognize the existence of Satan or the devil or Iblis, whatever you want to call it. It's a reality. So are the negative spirits that inhabit the occult, invisible planes. All of these things are realities, and so are negative tendencies in human beings. From there will come one of the talks on how we try to develop techniques of protection from these bad qualities that are all around us. Okay. So it's a subtle balance that we're talking about here. Now, one of the ways we can go wrong, and Sheikh Hamza Yusuf points this out, and I've seen it in my own personal life, if we spend too much time attending to the news, to politics, and to history, will end up with a very negative view of mankind, because the news reports on what is dramatic and spectacular, and history also looks at the spectacular parts, and the spectacular parts are often negative. So you'll notice that people who spend their time studying politics and news and history end up with a very negative perspective of things. And that's the danger of watching too much news. I try myself to limit myself to a half an hour maximum, 45 minutes a day of cable news, just to know what's going on, but not to get totally immersed in it. Now, on the other hand, you have people who are advocates of the positive, okay? And if you're going to be an advocate of the positive, it better be the real positive, not the artificial positive. There are other people who are, good at flattering, sucking up, brown-nosing. There's all kinds of terms for that, to say the positive when it isn't really real, but it's to their advantage to do so. Recently, I came up against, not up against, but I saw on my Facebook feed a quote from a friend of mine about raising children. Okay. Now, this lady is a second generation immigrant from a Syrian Lebanese background, and she has been thinking about this a lot, because in some of the communities in the Middle East, the fathers especially, sometimes the mothers, are very harsh on their children and don't give them enough positive feedback. Now, in America, we have the opposite problem, which she wasn't totally aware of, and so I felt the need to respond to it. But the original posting said the following: "You do not have to make your children into wonderful people. You just have to remind them that they are already wonderful people." Okay. Now, this sounds terrific, and it reminds me of where my children went to school at the Steiner School, the Waldorf School. And the teachers, especially in the younger grades, would talk about the children all the time and say, "Oh, les petits anges," the little angels. And I would see the misbehavior all around, and I would kind of look at them, "Are you serious? Les petits anges, you don't see the other side?" And the kids would be pushing each other and kicking each other and doing whatever they want. "Oh, c'est juste des petits anges." No, we have to, especially as Muslims as well, recognize that children also have egos. They're very obvious, have nafs, and these egos need to be trained. So if you just think they're wonderful and you tell them all the time that they're wonderful, you're going to end up with a phenomenon that I saw when I was in Jordan, treating people in the community of Sheikh Nu. And at the end of my stay in Jordan, Sheikh Nu came up to me and he said, "So how did you find dealing with the people here as patients?" And I said to them, "It was pretty much like Canada, except I discovered a new diagnosis." And he said, "What is that diagnosis?" I said, "It's the MAP." So he said, "What is that?" I said, "It's an acronym for Muslim American Princess," which was an equivalent to what's well known in America as the Jewish American Princess. And he said, "How does that come about?" Well, most of these young ladies were actually of Indian Pakistani descent. Their fathers were successful engineers and doctors and accountants and whatever, and they had spoiled them rotten. So they felt entitled, they didn't have to do anything, and their husbands would come complaining to me, "My wife is impossible, I can't deal with her." And of course, as Muslims, divorce is our last alternative, so they didn't want to go there. And I realized that there was a social phenomenon going on, which was the MAP, that these young ladies had been coddled their entire lives, not been required to do any serious work at home, been spoiled rotten, had whatever they wanted, and they felt they could continue their lives that way. Well, once you get married and have responsibilities, you can't keep doing that. And so it created quite a bit of disturbance. So that's what happens if you just tell people that they're wonderful. You can acknowledge that your children are gifts from God, and you should look and acknowledge their real qualities and express that. Okay, now, not all of us are that good at expressing the positivity, but that's an important thing to do. But it's also important to see where they're going wrong, where they're being excessive, how they're inconsiderate towards other people, mistreating other people, and underline that also. So that's where we come to Amar bil Maruf wa Nehi al Munkar. Okay. Now, I know one can go wrong in many ways. Having been a psychiatrist, I've seen this over and over again. For example, case history, a young lady comes to see me and she's very depressed and very miserable. And as we start unfolding her story, I realize that this lady is a very talented gymnast and swimmer. Unfortunately, and I had seen her sister before, but her sister wasn't as athletic, was more intellectual. But the father was an engineer who only respected intellectual capacities. So the fact that his daughter was good in sports had no value for him, whatever. And so she was very devalued, and we had to go and try reprogramming her own self-view, her own perspective on her own capacities, because her father had never highlighted her strengths, but only her weaknesses. She was a mediocre student. Her sister was a straight A student, but she was a straight A swimmer, diver, and gymnast. Okay, now there are other families who may be the opposite. You know, I used to see interviews with Wayne Gretzky, and he always seemed like a very happy guy and a humble guy at the same time. And Wayne Gretzky explained that his father loved hockey, and he loved hockey, and he was very happy with him. And his father hadn't been as successful as he was in hockey, and so he had led a good life. Okay, now, when I would see that, I think if Gretzky had the father that I just mentioned, who only approved of intellectual activities as valuable, he would have been a very miserable person. So it's important for us, bottom line, not only in our children, but in the people around us, to be able to identify. The negative usually hits us more strongly, you know. I used to make a joke about my time with Sheikh Nazim, because I'd been an experienced murid for a long time. People would come to me and ask me, say, how come the Sheikh only tells us what's positive about us? And I would say with a big smirk on my face, that's because one of the first things he does is he gets you married, so he knows that your wife or your husband are going to cover the whole negative sphere, so he doesn't have to deal with that. It was partly a joke, but partly true, i.e., the negative is more obvious. You know, just like a thunderstorm is much more obvious than a sunny day. You know, we have to train ourselves to recognize the positive. So that's also true in our interactions with people. It's important to be able to see where they're coming from, to see their positive qualities, to acknowledge it, and to express it. That will make them feel good as well. Of course, the other side of the equation is being able to correct them, and that's a whole other skill. Now, when I was raised, I was told, you know, be honest, say it like it is, tell them the whole truth. Wrong. This was not a good teaching from my parents, because what happens is that people get offended if you say it to them, especially if you do it in public. Now, Islamically, we have a kind of protocol. If you see that someone's doing something wrong, you take them aside and you try to be positive at first, and you explain to them what you see them doing wrong. And you don't do it in public, and you don't embarrass them, and you don't do it in a harsh way. But I didn't know about that when I was younger. So you can end up offending a lot of people when you tell them you're so this, you're so that, you're so awkward, you're so ugly. Whatever else you tell them, it's not helpful. So you have to think of doing this in a correct way, in a gentle way, in a kind way, so that it could actually be, and it's not easy, because most people react from pride or from hurt, and they won't hear you out. On the other hand, at times it can be life-changing to hear, I'll give you an example shortly, to hear some truth about yourself from someone who's not angry or hateful towards you at that point in time. And we will conclude shortly, but this is one story I like to tell in terms of my own spiritual process. When I was younger, before I was Muslim, I had a clever Jewish girlfriend who I was really not sufficiently sympathetic to. And she was depressed, and she wanted me to go to her therapist, and I thought psychiatry was a bunch of bunk, and so I refused to go. And she went to speak to a friend of hers, and she came back and she said, "I spoke to my friend, and we've decided that you're a positivist." Now, that doesn't mean what people might think right away. You have to know a little bit about philosophy to understand it. But positivism was one of the schools of empiricism, which is just means that all you notice is the concrete and the material. It's not a compliment. I knew it wasn't a compliment, but I didn't understand the full implications of it. And actually, it shifted my consciousness because it made me start to question my whole outlook. And I started studying what it was and realizing that I was too immersed in the mathematical, scientific, maybe even medical model at the time, and was missing out on a lot of subtleties. From there, I decided to do a sabbatical year, just going into the arts and music and literature and all of that in order to subtleize my conscience, my consciousness. And that might have been the first radical shift that I underwent and the beginning of, or maybe the second stage of a spiritual process, which eventually led to where I am now. So it's valuable sometimes to tell people where they're going wrong, but it has to be done in the right way, and Allah has to permit it to enter. Okay, before I conclude, is there anything obvious that I need to pick up on? Any obvious errors or questions? No, okay. If people have comments, I want to keep this reasonably short, like TED Talks, so that, because I know people's attention span is not particularly long nowadays. And if you have any comments, any questions or whatever, please put them on the blog. We will post them on our blog at SufiPilgrimsProgress.com, and you're free to listen and you're free to comment there in writing. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. رحمن رحیم مالک یوم الدین یا کنبوری یا کنستاییم اخدین سرات و مستقیم سرات و تین نام تالهی مرمو دو بیالهی مرادالین آمین آمین. So we end with the Fatiha, which is the first surah of the Quran, which tells us to praise Allah and not to be of those that he's angry with, of those who have gone astray. So one of the ways of not engendering his anger, inshallah, and not going astray, is to get this question of good and bad and how to see it and how to manage it right. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Amin amin ya rabbal alamin.